So let's get started here. This is about, I call it offensive body language. Not that it's mean or anything, but we're using it for an offense. A lot of people know how to read body language, and we all really do. But how do we use body language? How do we use it to augment our presentation? But before I do this, there's a little warning here. I'm going to do something that's going to be very embarrassing to one of you, and you're not going to like it, and it's very private, and you're just going to be embarrassed in front of the crew. But I got to pick the right person, and I could tell by looking at you which person I'm going to pick. Now observe for a second how you're sitting, what you're thinking, what you're doing. I'm really not going to pick somebody. Were you going like this, looking away from me? Were you kind of looking up, hoping I wasn't looking at you? You were using body language. That's something that you can't help a lot of times. Well, you've noticed. There's an author called Carol Goman. She's a president of a consulting company that does body language. She talks about this. If you want to project being timid, go right ahead. Go like this. Look at people like this. When they ask you a question, turn away from them. Do you want to project timidity? Do you want to be timid? Do you want to be seen as somebody who's easily rolled over? Or do you want to be somebody who's in charge? Do you want to be somebody who stands up straight? Somebody who walks with power and authority, who comes in for that interview, pow, kills it. That's probably who you want to be. That's what we'll talk about a little bit. Now, my talk is usually given in the context of agile software development. One of the things about software development in the agile world is we value face-to-face communications and apple pie and humanity and the goodness of everything else. But face-to-face communication, why is it important? Because a lot of the communication that you're having is via body language. It's via inflection of your words. It's the way that you speak. It's the way that you carry yourself, not just the written word, not just the telephone. So there's a few things about body language that we can talk about. We can use body language to observe it. We can use body language to augment our presentation. And believe it or not, certain body language contortions can help you induce behavior. So rather than the body language coming from what you're thinking, the body language that you're using sometimes can be used to change the way you think. It's pretty cool. Let's start this with a sage of Star Trek. Isn't that cool? That's one of my favorite clips. The guy's using body language and Captain Janeway says something and he's upset and his hands are shaking. Is that how you feel sometimes when you're observing body language? How are they doing that? Well, let's talk a bit about this too. There's the Meribian formula. It's rather interesting. This fellow did an experiment. What he did was he showed people different clips of people giving different information to each other. One of the clips they showed him with no sound. One of the clips they showed sound only. One of the clips they showed both the sound and the video itself. What they found was that 55% of the meaning came from the body language itself. Only 7% of the meaning actually came from the verbiage itself. 38% came from the way the words were used, the inflection, through this rather interesting experiment. You can look it up. What they were doing was showing people saying different things that were incongruent with the actual behavior or the body language that they were having. So The point of the matter is, if people are getting somewhere around 55% of the message through body language, it's really darn important to be able to do it right, to be able to understand what you're talking about on body language. So we all really know a little bit about it. We observe, what does this mean? If you saw somebody standing there like that, what would you say? Yeah, probably. He's really engaged. Hopefully he's not doing something very important at the time. How about this one? Hey, we're open. He's an open guy. How about this one here? Is this the kind of look that your wife gives you when you give her the wrong present? Kind of irritated? Of course. We all seen that too. Here's another interesting example. You guys like Friends?
Split up, otherwise you wouldn't have done the head tilt.
The head tilt?
Yeah, since the divorce, when anybody asks me how I am, it's always with a sympathetic head tilt. How you doing? You okay?
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Believe me, I do it too. I always answer with the I'm okay head bob. I'm okay. For sure. Yeah, I'm fine.
You ever see anybody do that, the head tilt? There's a study that talks about that exact particular movement. It shows, I'm interested in it. I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm listening to you. But I'll give you a pointer here. Ladies, don't do it too much. Honestly, it's been shown that ladies do the head tilt more than they really should, and sometimes that comes across as being submissive if you tilt your head too much. It's one of those gender-specific things. Now, lawyers do this. Actors study it. Politicians are coached on body language. Back in the time when Vice President Nixon, he was vice president at the time, was running for president against John F. Kennedy, they had a debate on the television. That debate changed the face of the way debates were conducted. Now, President Kennedy was looking good. And he is a good-looking man, by the way. He was wearing his makeup. He had no problem putting on makeup. He conducts himself very well. Vice President Nixon, who was vice president at the time, actually had an operation on his knee, from what I understand. He wasn't feeling very well. He was just recovering. He opted not to put makeup on. And because he wasn't feeling very well, he actually had body language during this debate that was not very good. Well, surveys say that the people who listened to it on the radio at the time felt that Vice President Nixon won. People who watched it on the TV at the time, though, overwhelmingly felt that, at that time, Senator Kennedy had won. Let me show you this video clip on it. Some of the sound isn't too good because it's really an old clip, but don't pay too much attention to the words. I want you to watch how Nixon carries himself, how Kennedy carries himself. At one point, they ask Nixon a really tough question, and he actually does this with his leg and starts to do one of these things. It is weird. Watch what he does to Nixon with a hanky. He comes up and wipes his nose during the presentation. Awesome. Now watch Nixon at this time. Watch how he carries himself.
Our experience in government is comparable. Secondly, I think the question is, and what are the programs that we advocate? What is the party record that we lead? I come out of the Democratic Party.
I'm in the more governmental executive decision-making experience than your opponent. Now, in this news conference on August 24th, President Eisenhower was asked to give one example of a major idea of yours that he adopted. His reply was, and I'm quoting, "If you give me a week, I might think of one. I don't remember." Now, that was a month ago, sir, and the president hasn't brought it up since. And I'm wondering, sir, if you can clarify which...
Look at his leg. Correct,
the one put out by Republican campaign leaders or the one put out by President Eisenhower? I would suggest, Mr. That isn't for me to say. I can only say that my experience is there for the people.
Look at the angle of his head.
Senator Kennedy's is there for the people to consider. As he pointed out, we came to the Congress in the same year. His experience has been different from mine. Mine has been in the executive branch. His has been in the legislative branch.
Do you notice how much more relaxed Kennedy seemed? They even interrupted him when he was giving a speech, when he was talking, answering a question. They interrupted him and had him come up to the podium. He moved so smoothly. And then you watch Nixon. He's wiping his nose, wiping his brow, kind of going like this with his mouth somewhat closed. His knee is doing this weird thing that looks almost feminine, quite honestly. He's certainly not showing power. Now you watch our current president. He exudes power in the way that he uses his body language. A little while ago, you've probably seen President Clinton. He used to point. He had a bad habit of pointing. Then he started doing the thumb pinch, like you're holding a credit card. Have you guys ever done a thumb pinch? Hey, would you give me a pop? Hey, Mary. No, that's very unnatural. So he was trying to get out of pointing by doing something even more unnatural, the thumb pinch. So if you're going to try and get out of something that you think is a bad habit, like pointing at people, you can use the whole hand if you have to. I tend to point. It's not as bad as doing something weird. What did you say, sir? Yeah, open hand too. Yeah, gotta try that in China. Very different. So, the question on this is, with observation, are you being observed? I guarantee it. You are being observed at all times for your body language. So let's use it to our advantage. Might as well be conscious about it. So you can augment your message through body language. But one of the most important things, really, is you have to be present. You have to be thinking about it. It's very difficult to use body language to your effectiveness unless you're thinking about it when you need it. Honestly, between you and me, I don't do it all the time. It's just when I'm up giving a presentation or speaking to somebody about sales or even an interview, I'll use it then. So be present. Don't be distracted. How do you show distraction? I'm going to go through and ask you a few of these questions here about distraction. So here's the question. Model for me what you do when you are showing distraction. I'll model my first one. How do you show distraction? And if you don't want to say it, you can just pass. Okay, so. Okay. And you? Okay. Kind of look down. Papers.
You said reading something.
Hands are going. Distracted. What? Did you say something? Oh, you have one? Yeah, certainly. So it's easy to show distraction if you're not careful. Here's another thing. Your feet, you're showing distraction. The old leg starts going. Self-pacification. I'm distracted. I don't care what you're saying. It's not good. But I got to tell you, you were talking about eye contact too. Too much eye contact also can show that you're lying. So if I'm just staring at you and not naturally looking away at a certain amount of time, and I think it's like 40% is the number, if I don't glance away a little bit, it can mean that you're lying. It doesn't always mean that, but it can possibly be seen as that. You don't want that to happen either. So mind your feet. What are your feet doing right now? Are some of you sitting behind the chair? I can't do this very well for all of you. With your foot locked behind the leg, ready to get pulled out of your chair at a moment's notice? Are your feet like this? What does this mean? Feet pointed in. Does not show confidence. It shows closure. It shows that you're not an open person, perhaps. Now, I want you to keep in mind that this isn't always the case. if somebody goes like this, maybe they have to go to the bathroom or something. Who knows? You know? Maybe they're... How about this one? Take a look at these 2 feet. Which one of these feet are more open for communication? Yeah, this one over here. So this was an interesting photography art type of experiment. The guy took some pictures of feet. That's it. And he took a picture of the feet of this lady with nobody near her. And then her friend came up and her feet went like that. She was open to the communications. More feet. Notice this one. This lady has her legs crossed kind of behind the leg of the chair. Does she seem like she's comfortable there? Most certainly not. Well, yes, perhaps. Now, I got to say, there are some aspects of this for ladies. You're not going to want to look open and just go like this. Ladies, don't do that. I'm not advocating that. But there are certain things you can do. If I were a lady, imagine for a moment that. If I were a lady and I wanted to cross my legs in a way that showed closed off, here you are, I may well cross them like this, subconsciously. If I want to be open to you, you're my buddy, and I'm talking to you, I put my foot toward you. That could be it. How about this one? Look at where the foot is pointed on this person toward the front. Where's the conversation? This direction. Where's the foot pointed? Away. You ever been in a conversation with somebody and you see that foot start to move? Before you know, it's pointed that direction. They're wanting to get out of there. And then their body starts to go. And before you know it, they're talking to you like this. And it's not very comfortable for anybody. Now, that's one thing you're going to pick up on reading people. But you can also use that to your own advantage. I may well come up to you and just want a short conversation. So rather than standing here like this, where my feet are in line with you for a conversation, I might come up and just, how was the game last night? You know, and then you're ready to go. Just a short conversation. So you can use it to that advantage. Posture is also very important. What are these guys doing? Which one are they, open to each other? Notice his leg is crossed. His leg is crossed with the opening toward the lady. Her leg is crossed. She's in the defensive position. Her leg is crossed away from the lady, from the fellow. She's also got this cup right here, protecting herself. And it's all subconscious. She's not trying to do it on purpose. This guy also has a cup across from her, kind of protecting himself to a degree. So I'm not sure, he's got a bit of a mixed message between his legs and his hand. Not really sure what's going on there. How about this one? Which one shows more openness? Of course. It's kind of a leading answer right there. More posture. Nervousness. This is a great one. Which one is more open? Our president and his wife, most certainly. And that's number 10 Downing Street. That's where these folks live. Also, notice where his hand is. It's not only up, but it's behind the other fellow. It's almost like, I'm in charge. I'm higher than you. It was a very telling picture right here. Even if they were smiling, a wave like that shows a little less of a power struggle. Yes, sir? It very much may well be the stiff upper lip of the British at this point. You'd have to observe it a lot more than just one quick picture.
I know that there was a big deal made about Obama shook one of the police's hand and the prime minister did not shake the hand.
Yes, that was also on TV not too long ago. I remember that too. Might have been a British thing. But there was also an interesting study, a video on the internet. The Prime Minister of Israel and the guy that always wore the black and white scarf. What's his name? Arafat, there we go. Yeah, they were trying to go to into a room, and you saw Arafat trying to usher in the prime minister, and the prime minister tried to usher him in, who then tried to usher him in and basically grabbed him by the arms and pushed him in, into the room. It was a power struggle for body language right there. Who is the most powerful one? The one that's ushering you into the room. I'm sure that they were both coached on that. Poor old Ron Paul, he's getting a talking to. Does he look very powerful there? Certainly not. Look at this. He was always sitting in the center of these pictures with Stalin and Churchill. FDR was always positioned in the center. If you look at all the pictures from that time period, and he did that on purpose to show a bit more power. Also, look at poor Churchill. He looks dumpy, doesn't he? And again, it might be because he's English, and that's part of his culture. But he's lower. Stalin wanted to be higher than FDR, and actually in most of the pictures, if you look at it, Stalin is either at the same level or slightly lower. They were using body language to effectiveness. I guess if you're going to do that at work, you can get a little chair that's up on a box or something to be higher than everybody else. I'm just kidding, but it's interesting to see that happen. How about this? This is our president many years ago, Johnson, talking to Theodore Green, who was a famous scientist at the time. How would you feel if somebody leaned that close to you? How would you feel if the President of the United States leaned that close to you? It'd be very hard to resist. There's a certain amount of forward leaning that can project power, but also it can also project too much, particularly with men, with women. If you lean forward too much into ladies, it's taboo. Don't do that. But a certain amount of forward leaning as you're talking, it conveys interest. It conveys a little bit more power than leaning backwards. So your posture is very important. Do you folks self-pacify? See, we got a couple babies in the room. Are you guys still sucking your thumbs? You are self-pacifying, sucking your thumbs. We outgrew that, I would hope. But we still self-pacify. We still self-pacify. We may not suck our thumbs, but we self-pacify. We self-pacify. Famous people self-pacify. We self-pacify. We all do it. If you want to convey that you're nervous about something, self-pacify. If you don't, try not to. Women, when they're nervous, tend to cover up a certain part called the suprasternal notch. That little bad boy right here. I see that somebody's touching their neck right now. You get scared. Oh my goodness me. My. People in the South, ladies in the South do it all the time. Right there. As a matter of fact, older generations, you'll see that too quite often, cover up their neck. Men don't often do that. But surprisingly enough, there's a fetish for that. Bizarre. This is what men do. They cover something else up. Men are nervous. Hands go here. Hands go here. Hands go in the pocket. Anywhere but just naturally to the side. That's more of a self-pacification. I'm kind of nervous.
Yeah.
It could be. I'm not saying that it's universal, but you know, some people do different things. Yeah. That is a good part of it too. Yeah, I've seen that. Nervous hands. You still want to project nervousness? How do you hold your hands? Projecting nervousness? Fidgeting? Are you projecting nervousness? Now, I want to talk about something else too. We're going to try a little experiment here. This is kind of fun. I want you to answer these questions truthfully in a full sentence. You got to try and answer it out loud, otherwise it's not going to be any fun. So, answer the question like this. I'll ask, is the room gray? And you'll answer truthfully, yes, the room is gray. Is this wall off-white? Okay, good. You got it. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to shake your head yes while you answer this question. Do you like the smell of rotten eggs? Oh no, I hate the smell of rotten eggs. Do you enjoy paying taxes? No, I hate paying taxes. Were you born before 1900? Hard, isn't it? It's hard. Now try this one. Shake your head no and truthfully answer these questions. Do you enjoy eating your favorite food? Yes, I like eating my favorite food. If the room were on fire, would you leave the room? Yes, I would leave. Do you have a driver's license? Yes, I have. All right. Now I want you to watch this video. This is Lance Armstrong coming up. He confessed to doping when he was doing the Tour de France. He used to be my hero, but he confessed. And I want you to catch him. While he's doing his confession, Oprah is asking him questions. Watch when he says yes, and yet his head goes this way. Watch when he says no, and his head goes this way. That's incongruence. He's lying.
This is too late. I view this situation as one big lie that I repeated a lot.
Did you ever take banned substances to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
Did you ever blood dope or use blood transfusions to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
Did it feel wrong?
At the time?
Mm-hmm.
No.
It did not even feel wrong?
No. That's scary.
Did you feel bad about it?
No. Even scarier.
Did you feel in any way that you were cheating?
No. The scariest.
Did you feel like you were cheating? No. What the heck? Will you get that project done on time? I certainly will. Did you find any bugs in the software? Nope. No bugs whatsoever. Yeah, there you go. You can use body language to enhance your speech, too. 4 score, 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation dedicated and conceived in liberty, dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether this nation or any other nation so conceived and dedicated can long endure. We are met on the great battlefield of war. We have come to dedicate this portion of the field as a final resting place for those who gave their lives so that this nation might live. It's altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. Gettysburg Address. Here's what I did. I've got to ask you. If you were looking at a scale on the wall and you saw 1800 and 1900, the years, where would 1800 be located? Left or right? Please point. Okay. 1900 would be over here, right? Okay. For me, since I'm facing you and giving a speech, I would do it backwards. I've got to mirror it for you. So when I said 4 score and 7 years ago, a time period ago, yesterday to me is over here. If I were talking to myself, so in other words, I'm going backwards just for you. There's another technique I used called conversationalizing. 4 score and 7 years ago, our forefathers, so I'm emphasizing words. If you see some really good people that do interviews, like Charlie Rose, he's awesome at it, he'll emphasize certain words. He'll emphasize the key words. So where were you last night? Did you know that woman? Emphasizing words with fist pumps, conversationalizing it. You too can do that. But don't be like Bill Gates. Bill Gates looks like he has a nervous tic when he tries it. Because quite honestly, his speeches and his older speeches particularly, when he talks, he emphasizes every word. He's moving his hand like he has a bad case of Tourette's, which may be true. So emphasize the words that you need to emphasize with conversationalizing. Also, there's virtual space in things. So I said, this nation or any other nation, they occupy two different spaces. If I said this nation or any other nation in the same spot, it would look funky. But they can't be in the same virtual space. If you're going to put something into a space, such as my Windows program works on the Linux box and in the cloud, they're in different spaces. If you put them in the same space, it looks funky. So keep this in mind. If you start to talk and give conversations, particularly at presentations, mirror it, make it backwards. Also, conversationalize. Virtual space is going to be different. I'm glad this room is set up the way it is. Otherwise, my presentation conversation wouldn't go too well. You'll notice, if you're reading something, where do you start reading if it were up on the wall? Please point. Over there. Okay. And you would read toward that direction? Okay. That's good. So would I. But I'm on this side of the slides, which is a good thing, because I want you to hear me and then look at the slide. Hear me, look at the slide. If I were over here, you'd look at the slide, then you'd hear me. If you're giving a presentation, make sure and try and be on that side of the slides if you want people to look at you before you give the conversation. Just little things like that. If I want to emphasize something, I can be talking about giving good presentations. And when I want to say something that's really important about a presentation, like emphasizing a certain area, square my body off toward you. That emphasizes something just as well as conversationalizing. Squaring off. Yesterday I found a bug that was really, really a bad bug. And I think we need to fix it. Body language, right there, buddy. So here's something really interesting, too, about body language. There have been studies done, and this is kind of a long video coming up here, that say that if you put yourself into certain positions, you can use those positions of power to basically make you more powerful. In other words, your body, rather than giving them a body language signals based on how you feel, that body language will induce a certain feeling for you. So let me show you a little video on it. It's fascinating stuff.
Power is expressed through these highly specific, evolved, nonverbal displays. And these interesting to look at images of Obama, where he will be leaning back with his feet up on his desk and, you know, really spread out when he's sort of in his own space. Powerlessness, on the other hand, is expressed through the very opposite nonverbal displays. One that comes to mind is an image of Michelle Obama on the cover of Vogue, where she's all sort of crossed up and making herself really small, which to me doesn't even fit her. It doesn't suit her. I'm Amy Cuddy, and I'm a social psychologist and professor at Harvard Business School. My main collaborator in this research, Dana Carney, and I were having a conversation after teaching MBA students at two different schools. One of the things that we noticed was that the students who were participating a lot had different body language from the students who were not participating a lot, who tended to be women and non-white men. What we were really interested in knowing was whether or not you could change their body language and actually change the way they felt and behaved. Testosterone is known as the dominance hormone. It's associated with confidence and assertiveness. Cortisol, on the other hand, is known as the stress hormone, and that's associated with an inability to adapt in highly stressful situations. People looking at primate hierarchies notice that one member of the hierarchy becomes more powerful, within a short period of time, that member's testosterone level rises and his cortisol level drops. So we started wondering, if you pose as if you have power, will your body and your mind change in a way that looks as if you have power? So in short, we were really asking, you know, can you fake it till you make it? So to test the predictions, we had people come into the lab. We took a saliva sample to get their baseline hormone levels. After that, we randomly assigned them to one of two conditions. It was a high power pose condition or a low power pose condition. So what we found was that after just 2 minutes of high power posing or low power posing, you get these changes in testosterone, cortisol, and risk-taking behavior in ways that are consistent with actually having power in the real world. The lab is set up for psychophysiological studies, so we're measuring things like heart and respiratory rate in addition to the hormone measures. What we know is that sitting or standing in these high power poses causes these changes that are consistent with having power. What we want to know now is how far does that go outside the lab? You know, what can you do with that? Where can you take that?
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right.
What we were interested in was not turning Gordon geckos into bigger Gordon geckos. What we were interested in were these students who were sitting quietly, even if they were really smart, but they were lacking the confidence to really get in there. And we knew that that would be a problem for them, not only in the classroom, but after they leave school, in job interviews, leading team meetings, just sort of in life in general. If you think about what people are doing before a job interview, what you picture probably is somebody sitting in a chair, and they're sort of hunching over their iPhone or their BlackBerry. They're making themselves small. What we're finding so far, and this is ongoing research, is that the people who sit or stand in these high power poses for just a couple minutes, they are evaluated more positively overall, and they're more likely to get the job. People start asking us, are you recommending that we just, you know, put our feet up on our desk and our hands behind our head when we're in a job interview? We weren't recommending any of those things. You know, this was not about what you do during the interaction. This is what you do before the interaction. They should be finding a space, even if it's a bathroom stall, to expand and make themselves as big as possible. Walk up and down the hallway swinging your arms, stand on your toes. I heard from a world-class violinist who now power poses before he performs, and he says it's dramatically improved his performances. I've heard from an older person, a retiree, who uses power poses before she goes in to talk to her doctor. I can't believe the range of applications. I'm learning so much.
What do you think? That's pretty cool, huh? Amy Cuddy, isn't she the doctor on Grey's Anatomy? So now you'll never forget. You can look on YouTube and find long videos about this stuff by Dr. Cuddy. How can you use this, though? When would you use this? Help me with this. So before you go and ask that really good-looking girl out on a date, go like this for a while. It's a fine line, isn't it?
It's tough, but if you can pull it off.
So you have to be present.
You have to practice it beforehand to get your mind going that direction.
To visualize.
Or if it's a situation, do 2 minutes in the bathroom, perhaps, and then go in.
And you could pair that with certain sounds, so you can be in the stall doing this, going, oh, mom, mom, ah, really deep, weirdness, weirdness.
And it goes along with that. There's proof that the physical act of smiling stimulates neurons in your brain, which release
chemicals. Endomorphins. You know what? We're going to talk about that right now, as a matter of fact. That was a good segue. I just paid him a couple bucks for that one. There's something called the Strack case study I want to talk about real quick here. A while back, this organization did a study on what people found was funny, what comics people thought was funny, and they tried to liken it to the thing that if you were smiling when you were looking at these comics, you found them funnier than if you were frowning. So what they did was they took a pen, see if I've got one here, and they said what we're really studying is different ways to mark comics as being funny or not funny for people who can't use their hands. So we got an experiment for you to try that. And they gave one group these instructions. You have to hold the pen in your mouth without touching it to your teeth. So here's the expression you get. Put that in your mouth someday without touching your teeth and try and smile. Can't do it. So people then would mark whether the comics were funny or not. They gave another group of folks the experiment that said, put it in your mouth, but don't let it touch your teeth. You smile automatically, whether you like it or not. It's hard not to. They found that there was about a 20% difference between the people doing the smile and people doing the lip frowning. It was funnier to them, just by the way they were holding their face as they saw those comics. That was a Strack study. There's a number of other studies along those lines that certain postures of your body will affect your mood. So you too can fake it till you make it. Just like this. Good old Superman and Clark Kent. You want to be Superman? Think about your posture. Fake it until you make it. I'll tell you a little quick story here. As I was in China a number of times, first time I was there was like North Dakota is here. That part of China, really deep. I was scared to death. But as I walked, I didn't walk like this, like I was scared to death. I put my chest up, put my back up. I walked like I knew where I was going, abruptly too. My helper said, I like the way you walk. You have a lot of confidence. Nobody bothered me. You can exude that type of body. That type of body language can help your confidence level too. You can also visualize. I want you to help me with this for a little bit. If you'll close your eyes for just a minute here and do some visualization. Think of yourself as the Dalai Lama, very calm. Very spiritual person. Think of yourself as Warren Buffett, a very wealthy, powerful, intelligent person. Remember a time when you were very proud of what you did. Very proud. Put yourself in a body position for that. How would you feel? What would you do? What did you do? You can open your eyes now. When you thought of those laudable moments, what did you do? Did your shoulders go back? Did you straighten up? Did you kind of get a little grin, even if it was just inside of your body? I was proud of that moment. That was a good time. You can visualize that to help you put yourself in a particular mood for something that's coming up. Yes. Ah, part number two. Close your eyes and think about this. Position yourself as if you were Bernie Madoff. Position yourself as if you were a thief. Position yourself as if you were just laid off. Now observe. Did you start to bend down a little bit, even just a little? Did your shoulders go down a little bit? Did your face drop? You can use that too, as you said, if you need to bring it down a notch. You can use that type of visualization. If you want to be more nonchalant, people say picture your audience in their underwear, which is bizarre. I would never do that. But picture yourself with your friends. I think we're peers here. So if I can summarize that, I think what you're saying is that your power pose for you is one of relaxation, kind of a that's good. Some people, that's the way it is. As long as you're, you know, if you want to project relaxation, it's not always like so. It might be a little bit slacked. Maybe that's your normal body language, and it doesn't always work the same with everybody. I mean, to some people will naturally put their foot like this. That's just the way they want to stand. It doesn't mean they want to get away from you. Some people will turn their head like this. Doesn't mean anything. It's just them. You have to take it in the context of the body. But that's a good point. And by the way, I got a card for a psychologist if you want to see them to solve that problem. Just kidding. I see what you're saying. Honestly, I'll talk to you more about this after the presentation, but one of the things that you can do too is, first of all, you have to, of course, gauge the person with whom you're speaking and see what their body language is. Another thing that works pretty well, surprisingly well, is mirroring people. And as long as you don't get caught at it, you know, it works pretty good. And I've done it to the point with people where I thought for sure they would think I was mocking them, and they didn't. As a matter of fact, they thought they had a really good connection with me. You see a lady flip her hair. I'm flipping my hair, you know. It doesn't look so good, but it works. But in all honesty, a certain amount of mirroring, you can do that. If they're having a posture that's a little bit assertive, maybe you want to be a little bit assertive to it too. You'll have to make that decision. You have to make that decision in the moment, really, what works for you. The point of the matter, I guess, if you get anything out of this presentation, it's that, you know, you're being observed. You are being observed. You might as well use body language to your advantage. If people are going to look at it and read it off of you, you might as well try and use it. So let me wrap this up here. Is be present. Know that that's happening. Don't look distracted. You know what distraction is. You can read body language. You just have to recognize that you're giving off those signals too. Mind your feet. I used to do that all the time. My foot would go away. Not because I wasn't interested in speaking with a person, but because I didn't want to take too much of their time. Now I don't. If I see my foot moving away from somebody, zoop, goes right back. I want to make sure I'm engaged. Mind your posture. Mind your posture. Don't pacify. And be consistent. Yes, you should be consistent with what you're doing. If you're given presentations, conversationalize appropriately. Know that things do go from left to right, which is mirroring for me. Use different spaces. Induce your body language by faking it until you make it. Induce your body language to help you by visualizing, just like sports experts. These are the things that we've talked about. There's a lot of stuff you can read about body language. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a few references here. I'm up on Speaker Deck. This is up on Speaker Deck, by the way, speakerdeck.com. If you haven't been there, you can Google for my name or search for my name on it. Paul Ekman has a lot of stuff out there on micro expressions. Micro expressions are little tells of people's emotion when they're trying to hide it. And you can see those and have just like on that show, Lie to Me, it really works.
He was the consultant for that show.
He was?
Yeah.
Awesome.
The Lightning Group is based on the Ekman's actual foundation. And all the stuff on there, he was there the whole time making sure that what they were saying was scientifically accurate.
You know, honestly, I watched that show once and I hated it.
Why?
I thought the guy acted arrogant. Maybe I got it later in the season.
No. I think his character was supposed to be arrogant to pull himself to an unimaginable degree.
But then I went back and I researched all this stuff and I watched the pilot episode, and yeah. It's like, dang!
All the stuff that they do, the Lightning Group, which is part of the show, is actually based on the Ekman Foundation, which is Paul Ekman's foundation. And yeah, he was the consultant. All of the
So what he's saying here, if you can't hear too well, is that that show, Lie to Me, is actually based on science. And you're right. It is, certainly.
Like a show, but the science behind it is all Ekman.
There's also one called The Secrets of Body Language by the History Channel on YouTube. It's like an hour-long presentation. It shows one of the things that was really fascinating. It shows Hillary Clinton when she first started out. She was a little demure. She had this high voice. She was like a recruiter in her 20s or something. But now she's a power horse. She is completely different. She was coached, no doubt about it. That show talks about a lot of the different coaching. Amy Cuddy, she's the one that talked about fake it till you make it and the biology of it. Tom Musiolo is on YouTube. He's pretty awesome. He's got a lot of videos on how to do presentations. Carol Goman has a lot of information for females on how to contort your body in a non-suggestive way. And I'm Charles Suschek, also Chuck Suschek from Improving Enterprises. I'll be happy to talk to you at any time. There's my email. Although I'm not a doctor in body language or psychology, it's in computer science. I study this because I like to see how teams interact on agile groups. That's where my expertise is, how to get teams working better together. So let's see what we got here. We got about 2 minutes for questions, if you have any. Yes, sir, in the back.
You said your slides were posted on Speaker Deck. Did you mean Speaker Bar? No?
I think it's Speaker Deck. Speaker Deck, I'm pretty sure. I'll look in a minute here. Other question?
I do remember you were talking about the foot position and everything, and I did have one time where a gentleman kind of baited my space, and I noticed that my feet went into the stance that I would have been for fencing.
Oh, yeah?
More aggressive, yes. And he did back off.
Particularly when you pull out the foil.
No, I didn't shape the upper body at all, but I subconsciously went into a fencing stance.
It would be interesting to see people have a conversation and just watch them from a distance. You can see people having a fight conversation, not working together. And like you said, you invade their space, you see them kind of turn their body or put an arm up like this. I've done it too, not knowing it, but I recognize it. Other questions? Yes, sir.
Is this a pacifier?
Doing this?
Yeah. I will notice myself, but I don't feel nervous in the meeting. I may just have bad posture.
Not all the time. I do that too. I'll go like this. But if you start, you know, when you're nervous, you start pulling on your beard.
Like, you know.
I had a friend who had a bald spot here because he did this so much. Absolutely right.
And where, like, something like that, it could be something pacifying, but, you know, I'm not, and that goes for any of the body language.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. What he's saying is that these things that I talked about, they have to be taken really in context. Just because somebody's doing this, maybe they got acne or eczema or something. Yeah, it might not be a nervous tic. But if you see them and they're playing poker with you, and they kind of smile a little bit and they start doing this. Ooh. You know, then you might think about it.
Unless you're playing poker with me, and then you should probably keep your money.
Anybody want to teach me how to play poker? I'll be glad to learn later. Never played.
That with Nixon, you mentioned about the knee surgery. I've had knee surgery, and yeah, you do shift your weight and move the knee around like that to help. So
it could have been that, too. But I got to be honest, it really conveyed weakness when he did that, whether he did it because it hurt or whether he really did it because of body language.
Then, like, when he was sick, there was, like, the first televised debate ever, and he was ill, and you can just tell, you know, Ken, like, he was energetic, you can tell, like, he had an up facial expression, and then the opponent was
Mm-hmm.
And his voice didn't convey, but that's the first time, you know, they were able to see it on television.
Yep.
And that's when body language really just became even more important.
One second here. Is there a speaker in here after this?
No.
Okay, I'll ask another, answer another question.
I also heard that the speech was also on the radio, and people who listened to it on the radio had a completely different opinion of it.
That's exactly right, yeah. The people on the radio thought that Nixon won. The people who watched it on TV thought Kennedy won, for the most part. So I appreciate it. If you want to hang just a minute, I'm going to disconnect because I got to look at my password file to see where my speaker stuff is. No, this is an open source conference, not an open
so
anything.
Much. Thank you.
Okay.
I was just checking. Yeah.